And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be this one. That would be Alabama. And I'm talking about this show goes like way on down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right. Hey, listen, we got the text lines are still going, Boomer, by the way. Happy birthday again to Boomer. And by the way, somebody has texted in without telling us who they are and where they're from and just says, hey, I want to know your birthday cake recipe.
And they called in, so that's perfect.
Yeah. They said mine was always red velvet. And this says, thanks, I love you and Phil. Happy birthday. What else we got there? Linda said, happy birthday, Boomer. I think you already answered that one. Brian from Huntsville, he just said, I see where you laughed back at his yeah. What else we got? Sandy from Harvest says, Kaboom. Oh, you said Kaboom. Happy birthday to Kaboom. Is that your new nickname, Kaboom?
Kaboom.
There used to be a breakfast cereal called Kaboom.
Oh.
Did you ever see that?
Maybe.
We could just, with a Sharpie.
Maybe, I'm not.
We could take a Sharpie and make it Kaboomer.
A Kaboomer.
But it was one of those
Kaboomer.
It was one of those kind of knockoff cereals of like it looked like Lucky Charms, but it was Kaboom.
Mm.
I'll explain it. There it is. John from Huntsville says, just to let you know, Phil, I gave your fill-ins fantastic grades. Lee and Dee were the definition of perfection, which means now you got to step up your game because they have set the bar so high. Okay. Wow. Raven from Russellville, no maple bacon donuts, he says. That's workplace abuse. We forgot about the maple bacon donuts, Boomer. Dustin from Hazel Green, he's calling for a cakeless rum cake. Wouldn't that be rum?
I would like a cakeless rum cake, please.
Yes, thank you very much. Just leave the bottle.
That's funny.
Oh, and the person who wants to know she just sent us her name. It's Kim from Hartzell. So glad you're in the text lines there, Kim from Hartzell. Thank you so much. And then Cameron from Decatur, happy birthday to Boomer. Welcome back to Phil. All right. Hey, listen, I'm going to jump into this first dipper. So, you know, what do you do? I remember, a while back, let me back up. Get your words, Phil. I'm out of talk. So I was talking to some friends once about an injury that I sustained. I had actually disconnected my bicep and they had to reattach it. And somebody said, well, who did the surgery for you? And I said, Dr. So-and-so does all my surgeries. And then I thought, that sounds really bad. Dr. So-and-so does all my surgeries. All my surgeries? How many have you had? Several, you know. But that's the way I tend to do things. I don't often get sick. I just tend to break stuff and have to get it fixed. But nonetheless, I say that because it kind of reminds me of the way I feel about Trump's newest indictment. Newest indictment? Well, that sounds horrible. It also sounds ridiculous. It sounds monotonous. It almost sounds like, wait, which one? Which one? Is it federal or state? Federal or state? He's the president of the United States. Okay, so now we have the fourth indictment during the campaign season. If that's not the most, biggest batch of hogwash and hokum I have ever seen, I am an attorney, so I feel comfortable in saying that he has a very strong possibility of just getting all of these newest charges just done away with fairly quickly. And by the way, they didn't just indict Trump. They indicted like 19 people. And they indicted them on doing things like filing a lawsuit on his behalf as an attorney. Well, that's what attorneys do. Now, an attorney under the rules of ethics is not supposed to file a frivolous lawsuit, one that they know there's no chance of winning. You don't ever take your clients and go sue on principle. But nonetheless, you still look at it and go, okay, so you've just indicted attorneys for advising their client? That's what they do. Wait, you just indicted someone for believing that the election was fraudulent? Well, that's not uncommonly held belief. Anyway, all said and done, we're now looking at the fourth indictment. And this fourth indictment comes in what President Trump calls a very dark period for our country. And I'll be honest with you, I agree. You know, we saw at the 2020 elections, now I'm one of those who absolutely believes that the 2020 election was the most jacked up situation we've ever seen at the polls. Just absolutely. COVID became the excuse for anything goes. Well, Phil, that's all been debunked in court. Has it? Has it really? Because the merits of the cases were not often received. The court didn't often get to the merits. Oh, those cases were dismissed. They were often dismissed on the bare minimum, such as standing, like the right person didn't file the suit. What do you mean? What I mean is, most of the time, the claims that you and I believe caused the 2020 election to be a jacked up election were never really dealt with truly by the courts. And you cannot possibly, with a straight face, look at the situations that we had where local and state officials not charged with writing the laws were revising the way elections were going to be handled by executive fiat. Well, we'll mail everyone a ballot. That'll be wonderful. We'll just allow ballot harvesting to go on, and it's okay if somebody pays you to collect them. Really? And then, you know, there's no need for ID, because if we take the time to see your ID, you might stand here in COVID world and infect somebody. And on and on and on. And then the election night. State of Alabama, state of Florida, several others, we got our act together, and we had our results in that night. State of California, weeks. You know, state of Pennsylvania, weeks. When did we go to having election night to having an election season? Because that's what we've got now, and it's ridiculous. We are the leaders of the free world, and you have to show an ID to get on a plane. You have to show an ID to get a hotel room. You have to show an ID to do most of anything in the world, but not for elections. No, that's racist. All said and done, 2020 elections were a mess. Don't try and tell me they weren't. They were a mess. And now, because somebody dared on the Republican side to question, we have indictments. So the first story I've got here comes off of Fox News. Fox News, Trump says the Georgia indictment comes during a dark period for the U.S., vows to fix it by winning. Former President Donald Trump told Fox News Digital his fourth indictment comes during a dark period for our country. He vowed to win the 2024 presidential election and make America great again. 19 people were indicted, Trump says. And the whole world is laughing at the United States as they see how corrupt and horrible a place it has turned out to be under the leadership of crooked Joe Biden. So that's a quote direct from Trump. Here are the charges, in case you haven't heard them. Here's what they are. The violations of the Georgia RICO Act, which is Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's what they typically get, you know, interstate gangs and mafia on. Anyway. The Racketeer, so Georgia RICO Act, a solicitation of the violation of oath by a public officer. What does that mean? That means they encourage someone to violate his or her oath. Oh, really? That's okay. Conspiracy to commit impersonating a public officer. Really? You know what that is? The electors. There was alternate slates of electors being prepared in the event that something overturned and the electors would go to the Electoral College. Conspiracy to commit forgery in the first degree. Mm. Conspiracy to commit false statements and writings. Mm. Conspiracy to commit filing false documents. Conspiracy to commit forgery in the first degree. Filing false documents. And solicitation of violation of an oath by a public officer. Yeah. So here's the deal. The Fulton County DA's office turned this thing into a complete goat rodeo. The Fulton County DA has been out for Trump since the day she took office. Nothing would have excited her more. This is the Southern version of what we saw happening in New York. This is absolutely a let's get Trump opportunity. And they didn't even try to pretend. So we have quotes like this from Trump saying the politically inspired indictment, which could have been brought close to 3 years ago, was tailored for placement right smack in the middle of a political campaign where I'm leading all the Republicans and beating Joe Biden soundly in most polls. Trump went on to say that the DA, whose name is Fannie Willis, District Attorney Fannie Willis, said should focus on the people that rigged the 2020 election and not those who demand an answer as to what happened. Also points out that This district attorney is presiding over one of the murder capitals of the United States and is so busy holding grand juries to go after Trump. What's she doing to actually enforce the laws? Well, so here's the bottom line. The way they handled this yesterday was a jackleg, you know, banana republic situation. Not by a little bit, y'all. This was something that Fannie Willis ought to be embarrassed over. The very idea that they accidentally, on purpose, I guess, released the indictment before the grand jury had even finished voting as to what they were going to deliver to the DA. What? Yes. In other words, they believed it was a foregone conclusion, and the clerk actually published the document online before the grand jury had even adjourned with their voting. That's not supposed to happen. It was immediately taken back down, but not before the whole world, which had been watching and waiting to see, had already seen it. In other words, the accused had not even been made aware yet that he had been indicted when the document, which was not supposed to be ready yet because it's supposed to be signed by the district attorney first, was released to the public. Folks, that's, and then the posturing and the posing for pictures, and I'll tell you about that more in a minute. But I'll also tell you when we get back from the break here about the 19 people who've been indicted. 19. And some of them you look at and go, what? Because it makes no sense. But it's where we are. And then what's it doing to the polls? Yeah, some say it's going to hurt. Some say it's going to help. Just depends. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, hey, listen, so this Trump indictment came down, right? And you got to look at it and think, okay, what's the backstory here? What are they trying to do? Do they really want Trump to go to jail? Because some of these novel theories that they are proposing, I mean, think about the indictment from New York. Alvin Bragg, DA from New York, tried to bring federal claims into state courts. Doesn't usually work that way. They're having to wire work their way into a, how do we get Trump? And so they're creating novel new theories of law. That's the same thing that's happening right now in Georgia. Novel new theories of law. Then you've got the prosecution of the case down in Florida, Mar-a-Lago, with the classified documents. There are certainly laws that allow for this, and yet the arguable position here is that the only person in government who was able to fully declassify those documents with the stroke of a pen or the word of his mouth is the president himself. And so what a great defense that's going to be. We'll see where that goes. And then, you know, you just look at all these, you think, okay, it's not like they're going to the grand jury and saying, do you find sufficient evidence to bring an indictment for murder, tax evasion? No, they're having to create and manipulate and move the law in such a way that it becomes something that it kind of catches people off guard. Like, wait, they can do what? They can bring charges on what? And that's where we are. Why would they do this? If they're having to stretch that hard, then you got to know, because you still have prosecutorial discretion. You still have the ability to convene the grand jury at all. You then have the ability of a prosecutor to convene the grand jury and at some point to close out the grand jury. You also have the ability to decide what is and what is not best for your case. And yet they're doing all this. Trump right now, in the midst of all the four indictments, And by the way, keep in mind, he still has other legal battles, too. There's the whole sexual harassment claim that was allegedly a rape that got downgraded to sexual harassment up in New York from a lady who claimed something happened 30-something years ago, I believe it was. He's not like these indictments are all he has going on. But he's facing, between the four indictments, 91 separate charges. 91 separate charges. Why would they do this? Well, the prevailing thought right now is, first of all, it's just Trump derangement syndrome. Got to get him. Got to get Trump. We can't let him get away with this. Get away with what? How dare he question our elections? Well, if he can't question them, who can? Apparently, Hillary Clinton can. Apparently, Stacey Abrams can. Apparently, any number of Democrats who have done this before can. I mean, there's a whole montage I saw this morning that has Democrat after Democrat after Democrat claiming election fraud and portraying the elections that they were in as something other than what the results said, and they're not being indicted. Stacey Abrams herself is from Georgia. She's not being indicted. So what's the point here? What are they after? Do they really think they're going to get convictions on all these? No. I submit they don't. I submit that what they really want to do is they want to bog down his campaign at a time when he should be out canvassing the nation, doing retail politics, shaking hands, holding rallies, raising money. He's having to spend money on legal fees. He's having to spend time on legal matters. He's having to consult with attorneys rather than consulting with campaign workers. Now, if there's anybody who can handle the balancing act, I'd say it's him. But what you got to watch out for here is whether they're going to attempt to just cause death by a thousand cuts, because that's what it looks like right now. Death by a thousand cuts. Slow the guy down. Bog him down. Bury him in paperwork. It's constant discovery. It's constant depositions. It's constantly getting ready. It's oh, by the way, we've got another hearing coming up. Now, keep in mind, it's a criminal proceeding, so there won't be the same type of things where he has to sit down under oath, do a deposition. It doesn't mean they won't have other witnesses, though, that are being brought in. Then they have to come back to him and consult to say, well, he said this. What do you think about it? And then there's truly going to wind up being an inordinate amount of time that is involved. And then you got to also look at the fact that what they're doing right now is they are, in an effort to get Trump, they are willing to ruin other people's lives. Like, I don't know, maybe just the maintenance guy at Mar-a-Lago. Yes, they indicted him. How about just the aide who worked for Trump, who didn't have anything to do except be present when so-called classified documents were around? Maybe he moved a box because he was told to. Well, maybe he just moved a box because he was told to. But yet, that guy, without a whole lot of means, potentially, is going to have to defend himself in court. And then you look at the list of people that they've indicted in this most recent Georgia case. 19 people have been indicted, some of which will have assets, and some of which, I assure you, will not. And they're going to have to drain their personal finances and take out a second note on their homes in order to keep their name clear. At what point does the burden become so great that they're hoping that somebody, somewhere, will flip and say, let me out and I'll say something you want to hear? 91 separate counts, multiple defendants. And then you have to look at it and wonder, when does it become too much? Is it unbearable? Not for Trump himself. What they're trying to do is create a swirl. They're trying to create a swirl of people who are saying, I need out of this. I can't lose my home. I need out of this. I have to go back to work. I need out of this. Sir, I wish I'd never worked for you before. That's what they're working on right now. They're not going to get Trump in jail. It's never going to happen. He'll never be behind bars. What they're looking at right now is, how can they ruin lives to keep power? When we get back, I'm going to tell you about the 19 who are indicted, and then I'll tell you about the dog and pony show that Fannie put together over in the DA's office in Georgia. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. write some.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Hour number two. How did this happen already? Boomer, how are we at hour number two already?
I don't know. It just flies when you're having fun and when you're back, I guess, huh?
You move the clock. Yeah.
I did. That's what it is.
He's trying to get ready for birthday celebrations. I know you already had the big lunch. You got a big dinner planned tonight,
ooh,
too?
Actually, I just headed to church tonight. We got a revival night at church.
Oh, that's right.
So, head over there. So, that's what we'll be doing for tonight's festivities.
That's a great way to celebrate.
It is. It is.
I'm back in number one of the Triple Dipper, another Trump bump, and I'm going to get down to the polls here in a few minutes before we close this thing out. But let's talk about who all got indicted yesterday, for the love. I mean, it's like, did you miss anybody? Could we please indict some ham sandwiches somewhere? I mean, so here's the bottom line. Trump is now facing 13 charges, 91 among all of his indictments, but 13 of them now out of Georgia. But there were 18 other people who were indicted on various charges themselves in conjunction with Trump's most recent indictment. Former Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani, one of his most vocal allies. How dare he be involved? Lawyer John Eastman, who's described as an article here on Fox News, a Trump-friendly attorney, who reportedly pressed for certain states to appoint alternate elector slates. Former Trump Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, who allegedly warned about the possibility of violence ahead of the January 6th Capitol protest. Former Trump campaign attorney Kenneth Cheeseborough. Cheeseborough was described as having assisted in devising and attempting to implement a plan to submit fraudulent slates of potential electors. Right. Former Justice Department official Jeffrey Clark. Colleagues have testified that Clark was a true believer in the 2020 election having been stolen. No, you're not allowed to. By the way, just make sure you understand that what we're seeing here is that you are not allowed to have a belief that differs from what the narrative is. Former member of the Trump legal team, Jenna Ellis, we saw her on Fox News and others quite a bit. She was a senior legal advisor. She participated in Trump's many legal challenges. Really? So, okay, you're a lawyer. Your job, ethically speaking, is to zealously defend the interests of your client. And there was nothing about filing a lawsuit challenge. I've been involved in election lawsuits. There's nothing about that that is wrong. Lawyer Ray Smith represented Trump in his 2020 election challenges in Georgia, asked Georgia lawmakers to vacate the election results. Okay. Lawyer Robert Cheely, a lawyer based in Atlanta, also assisted the Trump campaign in presenting evidence it said showed voting inconsistencies. No. Don't you mean to say that a lawyer presented his side of the case? How dare he? Ex-Trump staffer Michael Roman, a Republican operative who once served as an elected ward leader in Philadelphia. That's all we know. David Schaefer. Schaefer is a former chairman of the Georgia Republican Party who accused Fulton County officials of improperly handling the election protest. No. You mean the party chairman of the party that lost had things to say? What in God's name is happening right now? How about this? A state senator. State Senator Sean Still, who currently serves as a Republican in the Georgia Senate, was one of the alternate electors. No. You mean somebody who is a Republican volunteered to be a part of what may be happening or may not be happening? I'm sorry. I don't see where that winds up being a crime. Illinois Police Chaplain Stephen Lee, who currently leads a suburban Chicago Lutheran church, was allegedly involved in efforts to pressure poll workers. Harrison Floyd, executive director of Black Voices for Trump. Floyd was allegedly involved in efforts to pressure poll workers into promoting fraud allegations. Certainly. publicist Trevion Cuddy. Cuddy is a Chicago-based publicist who used to represent Kanye West. He's said to have traveled to the home of a frightened Georgia election worker who was facing death threats. Okay. Former Trump legal team member Sidney Powell. Powell, a former federal prosecutor, was one of the most vocal attorneys in Trump's circle. Yeah, that's what attorneys do. You get vocal sometimes for your client. Former Coffee County Republican Party in Georgia chairwoman Kathy Latham. So she's a local party chairman, is what she was. I was a local party chairman. I can just tell you, it doesn't always go fun at the local level either. And Latham is a former school teacher who's accused of helping Trump's team gain access to voting systems. What does that even mean? She hacked the system? The school teacher knew how. She got in the... I thought they were unhackable. Anyway, Scott Hall, a 2020 Fulton County Republican poll watcher. He's also a bail bondsman. He's alleged to have helped Trump allies access voting equipment. How? Doing what? What was the end result of it? Did it change the election? No. Misty Hampton. Hampton's a former election supervisor of Coffee County who's also suspected of helping Trump supporters access voting equipment. What? This is, and by the way, did you hear that? Those are just, there were attorneys in there whose job it is to do their client's work within the bounds of the rules of ethics and the bounds of the law. And then there were just normal folks in there who were upset, who were labeled as having been true believers in the 2020 election fraud conspiracy theories. Folks, this is bad. This one, I mean, okay, let's look at what happened, though, once it got going. Story here on Red State. Red State has a piece, says on Monday evening, right in the middle of prime time, what a coincidence, the Georgia grand jury handed down an indictment. Unlike the past indictments of the former president, where the judges took care not to turn the actual in-court proceedings into a spectacle, this indictment turned into a low-budget reality show. It apparently did. I mean, the star of the show was the Fulton County court clerk, who, by the way, is the one who oversaw uploading the indictment before the indictment had even been handed down by the grand jury. Let me make sure that... So, first of all, there's a lot of procedure, and rightfully so. When you are handling cases that involve someone's life, let's put aside whether you like Trump or all that or not. What if there was someone who was, I don't know, up on charges of assault? And there was some specialized verdict or prosecutorial motion, or for that matter, a grand jury indictment that was coming down. The rights of due process under the Constitution of the United States would require that the accused first be given the opportunity to hear the charges against him or her, and then be given the charge, the opportunity to respond. What happened in this case is a travesty of justice. The circuit clerk somehow, and by the way, I'm doing air quotes, which you can't see on the radio, somehow uploaded to the public domain on the website the indictment list. There was no indictment at the time, and it was up there for all the world to see because she was so excited. It says here in this article, she became the star of the show. She welcomed a gaggle of media to follow her around the halls of the court as she solemnly walked the paperwork to her office surrounded by armed guards, reminiscent of Nancy Pelosi marching Trump's articles of impeachment through the Capitol building. Yeah, everybody knows what's going on now. She soaked up every minute of it. Upon reaching her office, instead of entering it and dealing with the indictment like she's supposed to, she actually paused and posed for the cameras. This is unbelievable. She then posed the document to the press before signing it as she was signing the Declaration of Independence. And it gets better. It says that we're actually going to be getting mugshots again soon. Mugshots. Again, unlike the jurisdictions of the other indictments, which avoided unnecessary spectacles, these Georgia officials are going on the full Monty, says Red State. So, first of all, mugshots are completely unnecessary. Mugshots are to make sure that you record who they are in the event of a risk of flight, or to make sure that there's no confusion as to who you've arrested. Donald Trump is the most known person in the world. And the idea that they need his mugshot for the record, no, it's not. Because that mugshot's going to get leaked, and it's going to be on every Biden mailout. Every campaign mailout is going to have a picture of Trump mugshot. Well, we'll see how long this lasts. But that's the way it went yesterday. In the meantime, In the meantime, yeah, what's her name? Fanny. She was asked about this leaked indictment. Story here on Daily Caller. Her only response is, well, I'm not an expert on clerk's duties or even administrative duties, so I'm not going to speculate. I got news. You oversee the indictment. No document can be released as an indictment without the signature of the district attorney, if I'm not mistaken. Well, during the press conference, Fannie Willis said she sought to try Trump and 18 co-defendants. She declined, though, to answer whether or not she had already been discussing this with special counsel Jack Smith. Really? Really? All right, listen, we're going to wrap this up after the break. When we come back, I'll tell you some of the responses we've been getting from others who are running. But then here's the thing. I called this whole section of the Triple Dipper the Trump bump. We'll talk about the polls. What traditionally has been happening to Trump after each one of his indictments? Up or down? What do y'all think? Text it in if you want to, 833-687-4448. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense a superpower. Hey, I tell you what, I see Jeff Rowe from Indiana is on the phone with us, so let's grab it. Hey, Jeff, how you doing, bud?
Doing good, Phil. Glad to have you back, bud.
Well, thank you, man. Appreciate it. Had some good time with the grandbabies and the family and went down to the beach for a few days, and now I need a vacation from my vacation.
Oh, I know exactly what you're saying. That's what it's all about, family, though.
That's right. That's exactly right. What's on your mind today, man?
Hey, I got good news for the people of Alabama.
What's that?
You don't have to redistrict your districts anymore by my decree.
By your decree?
You don't have to listen to by my decree. I've got every bit as much authority and jurisdiction to do that as the people who changed the election laws in other states. Just as good as standing. And also, and I'm not kidding about this, I would like to press criminal charges against the attorney generals and the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania for changing election laws, which is what they're trying to do with, you know, Trump and everything. I don't see why you can't, because they meddled, they did things that they weren't supposed to do and didn't have jurisdiction to do. I would also like to sue them civilly for financial costs from having Biden in there and mental distress.
Well, I tell you what, as long as we're on a roll right here, I'll be your lawyer, and I'll just go ahead and get admitted pro hac vice to operate in any state in the nation, and we'll just go at it, brother.
Well, why couldn't you? I'm actually been kind of wondering, you know, why couldn't you? Because they broke the law.
There's no doubt, man. And in fact, I was saying earlier, I don't know if you heard it. I hope you heard that part, is that anybody who wants to try and say, well, that's all been settled. None of it's been settled. Most of those cases were dismissed on standing or other, you know, statutory grounds related to, you know, whether the courts had proper jurisdiction or whatever. And it's unbelievable to me that we're still having to rehash all this.
Yeah, when you separate the ballot from the mailer, how do you put the horse back in the barn, you know?
Yeah.
They should have had to go through all those mailers and saved all those mailers and said, hey, you know, this is a bad one, this is a bad one, this is a bad one, this is, you know, obviously false, you know, fake. And went ahead and just declared the election invalid because it was. I mean, they should have had to do over.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you think, Jeff, in general? Now, you and I know where our votes are going to be, right?
Right.
And we come at it from a obviously a standpoint of wanting the conservative, you know, to win. But what do you think? Is this going to wind up helping or hurting Trump in the polls?
Well, it's going to help him in the base and everything, but we've got too many dumb people out there that vote and everything that don't say, oh, well, look, Trump got indicted again. My mom is one of them. I mean, oh, look, they what they did to Trump and everything. She's 94 years old, doesn't have a clue. She doesn't have Fox News. She doesn't have anything but the three big networks. And that's what she watches, The View and stuff. And those women are really smart. I swear she doesn't have any other reference to see what's going on. And being that that's the only one she looks at and watches, and they don't report these things, she doesn't have a clue.
Well, you know, Rush Limbaugh used to call folks, some folks out there, the low-information voters. And I'm afraid that's true. I'm really concerned as much as anything that this will wind up being, if nothing else, just such a constant irritant, distraction, and cost to the Trump campaign that alone will you know, cause him issues in the primary.
Well, it's, you know, I don't think we can survive another 4 years. Well, it's not going to be 4 years of Biden. I mean, Joe Biden right now, he could walk down the street and nobody would touch him, because as long as Harris is the vice president, ain't nobody going to hurt that man.
You know what, though? And I do think he's a puppet having his strings pulled right now, but you're right. Yeah. And I don't know what their plan is. I mean, I don't know that we're going to see another Biden presidency. But I also don't think we're going to see them just throw him off to the side in the middle. They got to make a decision real quick. Either A, he's gone and they get somebody else in there, or B, they got to ride this thing out and hope for the best. And then maybe they can do something with Kamala. I don't know what they're going to do, man. All right, listen, brother. Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
No, you.
I seriously think if she would be, you know, put in the presidential seat, she would probably take control, because she's really just that dumb, and I think she would make Biden look like Trump against Biden, basically.
I don't know if I could stand 4 years of her word salads and giggling, but yeah, we'll see,
that'd
man.
That'd be a revolution. There's no doubt in my mind there'd have to be a revolution.
All right, brother. Hey, where are you at right now on the road?
I'm sitting in my driveway.
Oh, Lord, that's the best road of all.
No. No work today. I've been fixing tires.
All right, man. Well, be safe. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Have a good one, Phil.
See you, bud. I didn't even get to the last part, so I'm going to wind up having to do that after the break. But
that's true. Because we're coming up on the break, so I have a quick question for you.
Yeah.
You know how you're talking about how Trump is, or Biden, or whoever's going to be running, is going to send out his mugshot if it ever happened?
Yeah.
You know, but I was thinking on the flip side, wouldn't Trump himself probably make T-shirts or do something with his mugshot himself? I mean, on the flip side, if you think of it that way. Or... you know, put out his own mugshot and sell them as his trading cards.
Oh, the trading cards.
The trading cards.
What did he make? Like, how many millions did he make on the trading cards?
Millions.
He could probably finance his legal fees on that alone.
But just on the flip side, right? I mean, because it's still publicity.
George Wallace, when he was governor of Alabama, used to always say, as long as they spell your name right, it's still good publicity.
So just on the flip side, yeah.
The trading cards is a crazy idea.
The trading cards. I mean, you could see him already just going and doing multiple mugshots just for the trading cards.
I'm still flummoxed over the trading cards and how he made money off of that.
Yeah.
I mean, some people just wake up in the morning, and because they woke up, they make money.
And if he hasn't thought of the trading cards and mugshots yet, if he heard it here, he could just send us a little bit of, you know.
On Boomer's birthday, he had the idea. Trading cards.
Yep. Just like the mugshot trading cards for himself. There you go.
Okay. I'll take it. And we need to get you an autographed one.
That's
right?
What it was. Yes, okay. We'll put it up right here.
All right. I'm going to come back and wrap this thing up in the next segment. You guys stay tuned. We're still in number one of the Triple Dipper, the another Trump bump. This one's gone viral. All right. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful, beautiful state in the nation, this one, Alabama. I'm talking about This show goes like way on down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, before I go to the phones real quick, I got to tell you guys, so you hear ads playing during the break. Just know this, Right Side Radio, we are a standalone business, all right? We're not owned by the stations that we're on. We send them our show, and one of the ways we support that is by selling ads. So if you're listening to the show and you're thinking, man, those guys got it going on. I want my business to be aligned with them because they think like or speak like I do. Well, we'd love to have you. Love to talk to you about what it means to get on the team. We got several great sponsors for the show, and we got room for a few more. So the bottom line is this, though. You don't call the station. You call us. And the way you do that is go to our website, rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. And you click on the Advertising and Contact tab. Just send us a message. Just tell us you'd like to know what it means to advertise on Right Side, what kind of business you have. We will be back in touch with you ASAP and love to get you on the team. You want to advertise at Right Side Radio? Go to rightsideradio.org. We'll take it from there. All right, let me jump over. He held on during the break. Is that Brian? Brian from Huntsville's on the line. Hey, brother, how you doing?
Doing well. I expected the bumper music after the last segment to be both of prison.
I grew up, by the way, I grew up, Brian, you say that. You said Folsom Prison, right?
Yep.
I grew up with an 8-track of Johnny Cash's greatest hits, including Folsom Prison Blues, in my dad's Ford LTD in the 70s. It's like nostalgia for me to hear Johnny Cash.
Oh, yeah. I like Boomer's idea about the same song, and I got another one to add to that. I would love if he started making bobbleheads with Trump dressed in the old time black and white prison outfit. I would buy more than one. One of my taxes would give some of his friends.
So
if Trump does that, he can cash in on it.
So we get Trump in prison stripes or prison orange. And then that's, you're thinking that's a good thing. You're not saying that in terms of you want to see Trump go to prison. You're just saying, let's go ahead and just ride this train.
I'm saying, well, let's ride that train and let's mock everybody and let him make a dime off
it. And pay for some legal fees. All right, man. Appreciate you, Brian. Thanks. Have a great day, man. Hey, real quick before I jump any further, I'll go to the text lines. What do we got here? Cameron from Decatur. I'm sorry, TL from Huntsville first. He said, Phil, you got it spot on about these ridiculous indictments. They don't even care anymore how corrupt this makes them look. But like a wild animal backed into a corner, this is when it can get dangerous. Prayers for peace over our country as the truth continues to be exposed. That's a good text. Thank you, TL. Cameron from Decatur. My feeling is that the liberals and the Democrats would love for Trump to be the Republican nominee in the next election. However, they also want to stir up enough dust to water down his vote so that many of the conservatives to whom he has become distasteful will stay home. And that by the way, that is, there are pundits who believe that Trump will survive this in the primary. It doesn't look like anything brings his numbers down. Trump will survive the primary, and that then at the same time, he'll get into the general election, and just like Cameron just said, that they'll make hay out of this and scare away those voters who were not sure about Trump to begin with. Because as close as the election was last time, the sense is Trump needs everybody back, plus some. And if he loses any, it can be harmful. So great text, Cameron. Zach from Muscle Shoals, if Republicans ever return to power, they should aggressively go after every bureaucrat, prosecutor, and politician who attacked Trump. Call it the Inquisition. Make Trump our Torquemada. I don't think we want to do quite the Inquisition, but I hear what you're saying, brother. What else? Get a couple more real quick. Marcus from Huntsville. If they're indicting lawyers that do their job and believe there was election fraud, you better look out, Jeff. You might be next. So, calling out Jeff from Indiana. Roughly Ann from Huntsville just said, woohoo, on the happy birthday to you, brother. So, by the way, in case y'all didn't know, I'll just tell you right now, it is Boomer birthday. It is Boom Shakalaka birthday.
Yeah, there we go. Boomer's birthday.
It's a
B-square. There we go.
Happy Boomer Day.
Happy Boomer Day. Thank you very much. And You're welcome. Thank you for all the birthday wishes, guys. That's amazing.
Absolutely, man. Text them on in. We'd love to see them. So a couple more things here. So Vivek Ramaswamy has said that this is the most ridiculous thing in the world, that he'd be glad to help write the brief to have some of these charges thrown out. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene demanded for Fannie Willis, the district attorney for Fulton County, to be removed because of the way she handled this thing with the documents getting released before they were supposed to. And then you look at it and realize that what you've got right now is a situation in which even those that are running against Trump are looking at this going, come on. I think it was Ramaswamy who said last time, it would do nothing but benefit him to have Trump out of the race, but he doesn't want to win that way. He knows what it means. That's a statesman's view, by the way. The statesman view is, yeah, that could help me, but helping me is not what this is about. That's going to hurt America. So the last thing is this. The Trump bump. Is there a Trump bump? The Hill magazine has an article that came out today, actually, 6 a.m. this morning. Headline, Trump's indictments might be hurting him, just not in the primary polls. So the sense is right now that in the primary, these indictments are really not moving his numbers. Now, there are some, though, who say that Trump has plateaued. He's not, and this is a big deal. He is way ahead, way, way, way ahead. Like he's got 38%, and he'll probably have more, but that he's so far ahead, it's going to be hard to catch up. Now, doesn't mean anything. At one point in 2016's election, he was so far behind, nobody thought he'd get on the stage for the debate, and there he is now. That being said, nothing's over till it's over. But in the primary, this article from The Hill speculates that what we're seeing right now, the numbers are proving out, is that this is not moving his needle one way or the other. He gets a little bit of a bump. It doesn't hurt him. So depending on which poll you look at, you'll find that Trump right now has a 38.7 percentage point lead over the next in line, which is DeSantis. Between the two of them, they have almost 60% of the polling votes. But if you look back at the last indictment, on June 8th, the day the classified documents indictment was unsealed, to July 8th, 30 days later, Trump's lead in that horse race was stable, according to this article, at 28 to 29 points. But by the end of July, though, it had grown to 37 points, clearly indicating Trump got a bump off of the polling in the primaries. People are mad. They're like, stop it. Quit trying to gerrymander the elections by using the Department of Justice or the abuse of a district attorney's position. Just recognize that if you believe he's done something wrong, you have to still be able to prove it. All you're trying to do is get an indictment because that alone will cloud the issues. However, what this poll is also saying is that Trump's favorability ratings took a hit. So in polling world, there's a couple of different things you look at. When you're truly digging in deep, you look at what's called the crosstabs. The crosstabs are where you look at all the different things like across different demographics. How did middle-aged women vote? How did Black Americans vote? So all said and done, the crosstabs give you analysis. The top lines are the numbers that you and I typically see on the news. And the top lines have two different parts. They have what's called the head-to-head. And then they have the what-if questions. And then they have what's called the favorable-unfavorable, the fave-unfave. If you've ever been involved with politics or polling, you'll hear them talk about, what's his fave-unfave? What's his fave-unfave? How's he doing on the fave-unfave? Fave-unfave is staying about the same. After he was indicted on the charges regarding porn star, what's her name? Stormy something. Trump's net favorability rose by 0.7 percentage points. Okay. He fell again, though, 57 to 55, a drop of 1.8 points after the classified documents indictment, just on favorability. Not overall top lines, but on fave, unfave, which tends to mean that people are getting jaded. That's one of the concerns. What people are worried about is whether or not this is also going to create what they might call a Trump fatigue. Like people are like, man, I just need less drama. Can we bring back a Reagan, please? I need somebody with less drama. That's why originally there were people talking about DeSantis as being Trump without the drama. Well, okay. But what's happening overall? In the primary, the sense of this polling article is that Trump is going to survive the primary. The question then becomes, what's going to happen to his favorability ratings once he's the only candidate left standing? What's going to happen to his top lines? once he's the only candidate after the primary is over with. Can he ride this thing successfully? I'll tell you right now, there's only one person who could ride this successfully, and it's him. Most other candidates would fold up under this pressure. And it's not, you know, it's understandable. But all of this to say, currently what we have is in the primaries, Trump is continually getting a bump in the polls by these indictments. In fact, he even said in his speech here in Alabama just, what, a week or so ago, he said that he's only one indictment away from winning the election. I think it was McQueen brought that up in our Boomer McQueen segment, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
It was. Yeah. He's only one indictment away from winning the election. What a crazy thing to say. But it's also, I've never seen anything like it. In fact, the world's never seen anything like it. Nothing like this has ever happened before. We're in new territory. But currently what we're looking at, the Trump bump, it's there in the primary. The question is it going to be there after the primary once he reaches the general election phase? Well, we'll see. In the meantime, we're going to move on. We're going to come back from this break, and we'll be jumping right into Adventures in Woke World. And, man, I got some stuff. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.